chapter 37, verse 31. I'll give you a minute or so to find that. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. In the Old Testament. Isaiah 37, verse 31. Now they had a few of you still looking for that. I'll give you another moment. Somebody sent me a thing the other day about it's in Florida, I think, about a judge helping declare my understanding is this is a true story, a judge helping declare a atheist holiday, and they said to him, of course it was a big court process going on, there was an atheist bringing about a lawsuit of some kind, as most rebellious atheists do at some point in time, trying to get some money out of somebody. But it was about the holidays, how the Christians have Christmas and you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, their holidays, and how the Jews have Hanukkah and some other things were listed there. I'm trying to remember, but anyway, the judge said, case dismissed. Of course, the attorney for the atheist got up and said, how can you dismiss the case, Your Honor, because we have not established that there is a holiday set aside for the atheist. And he says, there is. And the attorney said, Your Honor, we are not aware of any such holiday. He said, it's April 1st. He said, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He said, therefore you are a fool, and so April Fool's Day is your holiday. Amen. Isaiah 37:31. Has nothing to do with the sermon this morning, but I thought it was a good story. Psalms 37:31, if you have that, let's stand and stretch for a moment in honor for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 37:31, and praise the Lord for a judge who knows the Bible, amen, because he quoted that verse to him is what it said in the story I got. Isaiah 37:31, everyone's standing now. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. I'll read that one more time. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. And let's talk about that this morning, taking root downward. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We just pray now, Father, that you would bless this time this morning. Help the folks to be attentive. Help me to be a help. Fill me with thy sweet Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There are certain parts of sowing and reaping that would seem to be less desirable than others, and they might be the most important part, actually, of the whole process, even though they're less desirable sometimes. Those that I've been told, anyway, that work in the strawberry fields say one of the most undesirable times of the growing season is the planting time. The planting process, or the planting time, the time when it's planting going on. Reaping was always the most desirable. So why is that? Because that's when they made the most money. Amen? That's when they made the most money. However, when they planted the seedlings, it was hard work, didn't pay much money, yet without time spent in that planting process or planting the seedlings, there can be no reaping. There can be no harvest. They won't make the money without spending the time first planting the seeds. In our text verse this morning, God told the remnant of Judah, he said these words, take root downward. And then he says, and bear fruit upward. So first they had to take root downward, and then they could bear fruit upward. What God was teaching them was the importance of building the foundation before you start worrying about the fruit. God understood that the remnant would have to start all over. He understood that they would need to build the infrastructure before they worried about any kind of a booming economy. If they ignored the infrastructure of the spiritual and financial economy, then their existence would be short-lived. Though building the infrastructure was not glamorous, the infrastructure was the root system of the whole financial and spiritual economy. The root system. Got to have that root system. If a business is going to be successful in life, guess what they've got to have? A strong root system. A strong root system. Necessary. Many people go into business without any root system. Their business then becomes, guess what? Short-lived, or has a short lifespan. Short-lived. Short-lived. They go into business without establishing their purpose of business, the roles of leadership, the uniqueness of their product, financing of the business, how to operate the business, the best way to market and sell the product. Without these being first settled before they start, a business has no root. Therefore, it's going to be probably a short-lived business with no root. Has to have a root system. Has to have a foundation. Has to. Without no root system, without no infrastructure, without the business is going to fail. It's imperative that a business has a root system. They get too concerned with the fruit and they're not going to be able to have any because they didn't take care of the root system. In just a few short weeks, we'll be entering a brand new year, 2013. We just got, 3 more Sundays after today, I think. Is that right? 3 more Sundays left after today, and this year is over. Now, I think we need to give consideration to this truth in many different areas and different levels. Without strong foundations, we can do nothing. Without strong roots, we will be unhealthy. Let me give you this morning a few areas that I think we need to make sure of this morning. Number one, the individual. The individual. That's number one, the individual. The individual must spend some time focusing on their root system. Every individual has to have a strong root system if they want to be healthy spiritually. My opinion is that every individual needs to have a personal revival every once in a while so they can keep from falling away and strengthen their root system. I think that's important. You may say, how does one have a personal revival? Well, look at, in fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have you look at it with me. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47. I don't normally have you look up verses once I start preaching, but just this one verse I want you to look up with me. 1 Kings is to the left of where you were. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 47. I want you to see this verse with me. I don't like to slow down the preaching, but 1 Kings 8:47. Give me just another 10 seconds here to find it, and then I'll read it. It says in verse 47, "Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, We have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness." If they'll say those things. So, before you ever get to Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31, the first verse we looked at this morning, you have to have this verse here. Before you ever get to that, and by the way, this verse did come first, but you have to have 1 Kings 8:47. Here, they were looking at having a national revival, or a revival of the nation, if you will. They were looking at that. There's no doubt that a revival is needed, folks, in our nation. I think there's no doubt about that. When you see the depravity, the sinfulness that's accepted by Christians and unsaved alike, amen, you can see that America is in desperate need of revival. When electric and emotional affairs are acceptable, we need revival. We need revival. When sin is covered in our churches, We need revival. I think we're in great need of a revival in our nation today. When perception is more important than false doctrine being corrected, we need a revival. We need a revival. When personalities are more important than that which is right, then we need a revival. When institutions are more important than the inspiration of the King James Bible, we need a revival. When preachers sit silently while sin is championed from the pulpit, we need a revival. We need a revival, amen. When Christians attack the bearer of truth and don't condemn sin, we need a revival. When personalities replace Christ in our services, we need a revival. Now, I could go on and on and on the fact that we need a revival. But here's the thing. It all starts with each individual. It starts with how we're going to have a revival in our nation. That's not the overall thing we need to worry about this morning. What we need to worry about is the individual this morning. The individual needs a revival. The individual. It starts with the individual. There's steps in having a revival. First, there must be an acknowledgement of sin if you want to have a personal revival. Acknowledgement of sin. 1 Kings chapter 8, if you go back to verse 46, it says, if they sin against thee. If they sin against thee. You will never have a revival until you first acknowledge sin. Until you acknowledge that you have sin. It is not an acknowledgement that you were deceived, but that you sin. You must acknowledge that you chose to do wrong. You had a choice not to sin, but you did. Nobody made you sin, but you did. Nobody made you do wrong, but you chose to. Health struggles didn't make you do wrong. You chose to do wrong. Until you acknowledge that you've made a bad choice and you have sinned, you cannot do anything about it. You have to acknowledge that first. So it must be acknowledged. Secondly, repentance is needed for a revival. Repentance is needed for a revival. Repentance is more than just an attitude. It's more than just an attitude. It's an action, folks. It's an action. It is an action of turning from your wrong to doing of that which is right. That's what it is. That's why you must acknowledge that you sin, for you cannot repent until you acknowledge sin. You have to be able to turn from that which was bad to doing that which is right. That's important. So it's necessary. Revival will never happen until you turn from your sinful actions and turn to the doing of that which is right. Number three, thirdly, supplication is needed for revival. Supplication is needed for revival. Supplication is a humbling of oneself to ask another to intervene. That's really what it is. Christian, you will never have a revival as long as you think that you can handle your situation yourself. You need help. Probably God's help, without a doubt. You need help. Must realize you're helpless and that we are in need of God's help. You must humble yourself. You must swallow your pride. You must beg for God to help you overcome your sin. Number four this morning. Confession must be made if you want revival. Confession must be made if you want revival. You will notice in the verse that we had read that they admitted to God that they had sinned. There will never be a revival until we admit all that we have done before God. Trying to cover up sin will never bring a revival. Never bring a revival. Sin must be admitted in its entirety if you want God to send revival your way. As long as you continue to cover sin up, revival will not come. Finally, for an individual personal revival, 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 48 there. 48 says, returning to God with all your heart and soul is needed if you want revival. So returning to God with all your heart and soul is needed if you want revival. Half-hearted service for God will not result in revival. Half-heartedness never works. Until you put your whole heart and effort into serving God, you will not see revival in your life. Revival is certainly needed, but you must put your heart into it if you want to see God revive you. If you want to see God revive our churches and our nation, if you want to see God revive us nationally, we have to have it start with the individual. It has to start with us. Revival is needed. There's no doubt about that. We live in a day and age when revival is probably one of the most pressing needs nationally. Our nation is adrift, drifting further and further from God every year that goes by. People know less and less about God. Families are farther and farther from God. We're hurting, amen. We need to take root downward so we can start springing fruit upward. Revival will start with one person. Decide this morning to be that one person. That's another area that's needed for us to strengthen our root system. Number two, the family. So number one was the individual. Number two is the family. Those other points I was giving were just sub-points under that. Number two, for a few of you that are taking notes, I don't want you to be confused. You usually are, so sorry. What makes up a family? Guess what? It's made up of what? Individuals. Do individuals make up families? Don't they? They do in my family. They're all made up of individuals. And individuals make up family. Now, the family needs to focus on its root system if it wants to succeed. If it wants to succeed. Communication is one of the most important parts of any relationship. It's important. Without communication, the family will have problems. That means you must spend time together to have a successful family. The family must know their roles in the home in order to have a successful family. Rules to live by must be established if the family is going to be a happy family. Likewise, God wants to be, or must be included, I should say, put it that way, must be included in every facet of the family in the home. You have to put God first. You have to put Him at the forefront of the home. If a family ignores any of those, ignores the root system, then there will be no fruit of happiness coming forth from that family. No root of happiness coming whatsoever. No root of happiness coming. If the family ignores these things. Hey, let me give you a third thing this morning, and that's this. The church. The church. What makes up a church? Individuals and families. Individuals and families. So a church must also give time to study its root system then, if it wants to be fruitful. Can't be fruitful without a strong root system. Too many churches worry about the fruit of souls without ever taking time to meet the needs of the root system. And I'm all for the fruits of souls. That's why I think it's important to put an emphasis. And this next year I want to put even more of an emphasis on it. On the individual. On the individual. On helping the individual. On helping the individual grow. The individual person. Winning souls is important, and we're not going to stop doing that by any way, shape, or form. So don't worry about that or get your hopes up one way or the other. But however, growing people that are one to Christ is very important. I'm for being aggressive about telling folks about Jesus Christ because the Bible is for being aggressive about telling folks about Jesus Christ. But we've also got to realize, hey, people that are one to the Lord, they need a chance to grow in the Lord. Amen. Everybody came from someplace. Amen. There was one day when I wasn't anything for God. Amen. And somebody helped me along the way. And I began to grow, and I began to grow, and I began to grow in the Lord more and more as the years went by. And that's because somebody helped me. So it's important to help somebody establish a strong root system. We've got to do that, amen. Christians need to know what they believe. I think that's important. That's why it's imperative to have a good Sunday school program. I think Sunday school is important because Sunday school really deals with the root system of the Christian, amen. It's an opportunity to work on strengthening that root system of every individual and every family, which makes for a stronger church. And so Sunday school is a help. It'll help Christians become grounded in the Word of God. If you don't attend Sunday school, I would challenge you to attend Sunday school. I think you're hurting your spiritual root system by missing out on it all the time. We want Lincoln Baptist Church to be healthy. We want to have healthy people, amen. We want to have healthy individuals, healthy families, amen. We want healthy families that have a good home established for their little boys and their little girls to grow up in. Amen. It's needed in this day and age. It's needed badly. It's badly needed. Now, I want our church to be healthy and strong. I want to strengthen the root system. I'm not saying that we're lacking nourishment all the way around or anything like that, but I do think this, some people are lacking nourishment. If you don't regularly attend, you can't be fed. If you're not fed, you're malnutritioned. Now, we give out good meals here, I think. If you're underfed, I think it's because you don't partake in the feeding. So it's not my fault, it's your fault if you don't come. You need to come, you need to learn, you need to grow. Every Christian ought to know what they believe. The average Christian doesn't have any idea what they believe. They just know Jesus saved me because I asked him to. And for somebody who's newly saved, that's fine. But for somebody who's been saved for 5 and 10 years, you should begin to know something about the Bible. You should begin to know something a little bit about God. It's the only way you're going to have a good, healthy root system spiritually is to have some knowledge that you've gained by growing in the Lord and knowledge of the things of the Word of God. Simply put is this, be sure to take care of the first things first. Don't jump to the fruit side of life first, hoping to enjoy the fruit without spending time establishing the root system. Amen. The only way you'll get the fruit of what you want is to have a strong root system. To have a strong root system. It's important. If you get the root system down, you'll be strengthened. A strong root system can make for strong businesses in this world. But at the same time, a strong root system can make for a strong family, a strong marriage. Amen. That's what's needed. A strong church. Amen. The fruit-bearing season will last a long time when you have a strong root system. However, with a root system that's not strong, you may not even see that fruit-bearing season, hardly at all. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Don't ignore your root system. Give it proper time, and the fruit will take care of itself. It'll come. It'll come. It'll come. Let's stand to our feet.